The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome. My name is Mark Manti, and I'm the chair of the board, and I serve in that role for the past 2 years, and it's my honor to greet you tonight, and I'm glad you came because we got a lot to share with you. Before we get into that, I guess I'd like everybody on the board to introduce themselves, and then what we plan to do is just kind of give you a synopsis of what we've been up to, talk about a few things that I know are probably on your mind, and then allow plenty of time for dialogue, because we want to listen as much as we want to talk. So, starting down there.
Paul Tilquist, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Carl Anderson from Salem, Oregon.
Stacy Jula from Naperville, Illinois.
Os Matsutani from Anchorage, Alaska.
Lola Dean from San Juan Islands, Washington State.
Josh Post from Seattle, Washington.
Mark Manti, Snohomish, Washington.
Lois Rimbo, New York, New York.
Sarah Pitcher, Chicago.
Darius Larson from Big Sky, Montana.
Ann Cohan, Seattle, Washington.
Hans Johnson, Vancouver, BC.
Norm Metzler, Vancouver, Washington.
Linda Kingery, Poposky, Minnesota.
Norma Gallegos, Wenatchee.
Kathy Blumker, near Madison, Wisconsin.
Chris Sharon, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. So we've been, ever since I've been on the board, which has been 6 years, I think this is a history that our summer meeting occurred here in the village, and there's the tradition of, as we're wrapping up, having some time to share with folks in the village, what's happening with the mission of Holden Village from the board's perspective, and listen to your comments and concerns. So we've been at this 4 days in a row. We're sick of seeing each other, so it's nice to see you. It's been really, really a very good time for us. These folks are a wonderful group of people. And as you can see from, you know, far away, very diverse places, and they bring a wealth of talent and insight to this treasure that we call Holden. Since I did this last year, I thought it was important to do again, to ground us. I'd like to read to you the vision and the mission of Holden Village. This is in a lot of our publications, but too often we blow past that. But it's important to focus on that. The vision of Holden Village is the love of God making new the church and the world through the cross of Jesus Christ. The mission of Holden Village, a Lutheran ministry, is to welcome all people into the wilderness to be called, equipped, and sent by God as we share rhythms of worship, of word and sacrament, work, recreation and study, intercession and healing. So how are we doing on that? We were reminded by Darius Larson as we opened our board meeting that a lot of organizations ask the question, are we successful? Or are we surviving? Those are the wrong questions, Darius reminded us. The right question is really, are we significant? And here we are going on the cusp of mine remediation, global warming, which could impact Copper Creek, distress in the church-wide body at times. And we came to the conclusion that God is going to do what God is going to do with Holden Village. And it is really our job as a board and as villagers and guests to spot those things that God is calling out and to jump in. And as the ELCA-wide slogan goes, God's work, our hands. We need to spot those opportunities and really run with them to better the mission of God's church here on earth. So this really could mean expanding our boundaries a bit. This could mean that we need to be very open to what the next 50 years could look like here at Holden Village. And I guess the conclusion I reached as to whether we're significant or not is that it's pretty much summed up in the theme for this summer. The waters flow through this village and life abounds. It is significant. And we are all blessed to have this place and this ministry. So, reflections since we last spoke last year. For those who might have been here, we talked a lot about whether the mine remediation would be really happening. And at that time, we weren't that sure. But all it took for me was riding up on the bus. I don't know about you. You know, mile markers posted, different signs than we've ever seen before. Dan's camp is really a camp now. and then you get into the village, the orange barriers. So mine remediation is really starting to happen. This is something that has been talked about for 15 years, maybe even longer. More
longer. 30. Do I hear 40?
And then the other thing that we dealt with last year is we had a turnover in directors, which, you know, always brings some intrepidation, both on the part of the directors and everybody else. And, you know, last year Chuck and Steph were settling in, and all the angst that goes with that was present. But I'm here to tell you that this year they have established their leadership, and they are the right people for this time. And they're doing a great job. So thank you. So let me just briefly go through what we covered on our agenda. Every 2 years, the board goes into an election process during the summer. And we had 6 positions out of 22 to deal with. So we have 3 members that are going off the board after serving 2 6-year terms, so a total of 12 years. And I'd like to recognize them, Norm Metzler, and then Dorothy Bass, who had to leave on the early boat. Dorothy's works at Valpo, and she and Mark Schwain have been on teaching staff, as well as Dorothy serving on board, done great service. And then Paul Tilquist. So it's kind of sad to see them go, but we know they'll be serving the village in other ways, so we will see them again. We had 3 board members who were up for re-election, and all 3 were re-elected. So Chris Sharon and Stacy Jula and myself were re-elected for a 2nd term. And we did elect from quite a slate of very qualified candidates, 3 new board members. And our process is such that we make sure we notify everybody because they're from far reaches of the country, so we can't announce who they are yet. So I hope you understand that. But there's 3 new board members, and they'll bring some new insight and diversity to our board. The new board members will have a 4-year term instead of a 6. So we've made a change in the bylaws so that there can be a little more frequent. If somebody doesn't want to go the full 6 years, they have a 4-year opportunity in front of them.
It's still 12 years.
But still 12 years max. Yeah. And then board officers were elected this year. We do that in alternating years, different positions. And Josh Post was elected as treasurer. And somehow they saw it fit to re-elect me as president. So I don't know. Oh, well. thing that we heard some very, very good reports. And I got to tell you, the staff here in the village are doing a great job along with the directors. And you probably have noticed that there's 50 to 60 remediation workers in here consistently. And that has required a fair amount of different food and hours and accommodations. And folks are doing a wonderful job. So we heard about getting ready for the heavy years of mine remediation. And we're calling, you know, this prep work sort of the bookend years. So we're in one of those bookend years right now. And we'll have activity that's pretty significant, but it doesn't disrupt our normal program and guests. So that'll be occurring this year. And then if everything goes right, it'll occur in 2015 again. We heard some very interesting reports. There's been a lot of work done on preparing us for how the village deals with the opportunity during remediation to renew itself. And you know, we're not on the National Registry of Historic Sites yet, but that could be coming. But we need to comply with the rules and regulations about a historic site because the Forest Service has deemed us that way. So the consultants and the architects are preparing a historic plan, and this is going to set us up for as we need to do remodels and fix porches and all kinds of other things, we'll adhere to certain standards so that when people come in to the village, they'll really get a flavor for what it was like as a mining town, and that'll all be preserved. So some really, really good work on that. And then we celebrated, along with you, the 50th anniversary. So there's been quite a bit of activity around that, and I hope you've been able to participate in it. There were three major gatherings throughout the country, one in Everett, one at PLU, and then one in Minneapolis. And those were great occasions for folks to get together and celebrate Holden. The one in Minneapolis was especially cool because the worship service was actually put on the web. And I think Dorothy told me 110 people participated, I think, just by viewing the service on the web. So it was really great outreach. And then if you haven't been to the bookstore and seen Lori Hayes' collection of the paintings she did, she was inspired to do 50 paintings in a very short period of time to commemorate the 50th. There's the book. You can get that in the bookstore, and it's just a wonderful gift to the village by Lori.
She'll sign it too.
Yeah. and really does a nice job of describing what's going on here. There's also going to be... Oh, yeah, all the paintings are, if you... it'd be the west wall? East
south.
Wall? South wall, thank you. South wall of the dining hall, all the original paintings are there. So take a look at that. There's also a new book that I'll let Lola mention. She's the editor of it, but that book will be coming out shortly, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it do?
How many of you were here in the 60s? Okay, quite a few. 70s? All right. 80s? Okay. What we have done is we sent out a letter to all of the former directors and the people who were instrumental in starting Holden in one way or another. And for those of you who heard Werner Jansen this last week, he has written quite a large piece. We were a little concerned as to whether or not everyone would respond, but everyone did. And so this book is a collection of the various directors' remembrances of their time that they were director. And the first part of the book is a lot about what started Holden, how did it begin, what were the themes that we held, what were the things we believed in. And I think you'll find it very interesting to see that those things go through each of the directors and all of the things that were important that we started with are still alive and well. The book should be out by the end of next week. You'll be able to get it online through Holden website. And it is, I think, going to be, I can't claim that it's going to be good because I wrote it, because I didn't. I edited it. And then I'll have to sit back and have all of the people who wrote for it get at me for what I took out, but that's the way it goes. So it will be only $15, and I think you will want one for yourselves and all your children who have been here. So,
what's it called?
It's called Holden Village, 50 Years of Memories.
Thanks a lot. And then we've hit...
a lot of time.
Yes. She has. Her roommate says she's still up. Late donut. And then we've got, StoryCorps in the Bombardier and a whole bunch of other stuff going. Mary, was our communications director, was telling me about some of the wonderful stories that have been told so far, and it's going to be really cool to have that all assembled. So lots of great stuff around the 50th.
One more thing?
Yeah, sure.
You notice in your room, whichever lodge or chalet that you're in right now, there is a journal with a painting of the mountains. And you're invited to share memories in there. And I think it'll be a great way, whether someone has been here one time or seven times or more, to just share memories. And there's some prompts and ideas for things that you could just write a few paragraphs or a few pages. So before you leave, I invite you to look at what others have written in your journal, or add to it.
Now, a big topic that's probably on your mind too is, where are we in mine remediation? And we spent a fair amount of thoughtful discussion about that. And actually, Dave Klein, who's the project manager from Rio Tinto, came into the village especially to present to the board this morning. And we have a very good relationship with Rio Tinto, the dialogue between the community of Holden Village and the folks that are doing this cleanup is rich, and there's a lot of understanding by both parties. The goal is to really minimize the years of heavy construction to 2013 and 2014. Everybody at Rio and the village is working very hard to do that. There's a lot of regulations and agencies that get involved and all that has to come together to allow that to happen. And I can't talk about it in detail yet because it's pretty confidential, but when you go to bed tonight, please say a prayer for somebody at the EPA to make right decisions tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So that's what we're hoping to see is that progress can be made enough this summer so that we can really accomplish some major stuff in 2 years. I want to emphasize, if you came away from this meeting with just one thing to remember and tell your friends when you go back home, hear this. Holden Village is not closed. I'll say it again. Holden Village is not closed.
It's not closing.
And it's not closing. It's a bit of a battle to, basically explain all this, but we will be a village even during those years of heavy construction, because we will have staff here. The plan is to get a lot of work done, so that could mean volunteer work groups coming in from churches. Edina's here. I don't know how many people they brought. Well, if they can bring carpenters and everybody else next year, great. The board will be meeting here next summer. The rhythms of worship and study and meals and all that will continue. So we are not closing. We just won't be able to accept guests the same way we do in the traditional years. So that's an important message for you to hear and for you to help us get out. Jim Hushagen is the village attorney, was at the district convention for the Tacoma area, and the bishop announced Holden was closing for those years. He stood up fast, you know, and he corrected the bishop and took care of that.
He's now a Presbyterian.
The bishop or Jim?
Both.
But, you know, one of the themes, I think, of the first Bible study of this week was, you know, really, now is the time to draw on our faith and not go into fear mode. And the village will be just fine. You know, God's going to see this through, and we will be all the better if we have draw on our faith that that's going to happen, and things are going to line up just fine for all the work that needs to get done, and people are safe, and we emerge from this renewed. So one of the things that we did as an action of the board was we're very proud to announce that we've reached an agreement with Rio Tinto to allow them access and accommodations during this period, and to complete some major improvements, both on the part of Rio and on the part of the village. We'll be working together on that. We can't get into the details of that agreement. A lot of stuff is still being memorialized and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, people were worried that the village would not be made whole. And we're here to tell you the village has been made whole. We feel very good about the agreement and the cooperation that's occurred between Holden Village and Rio. So very encouraged about that. And God has helped us get to a point where you know, we're going to be blessed coming out of this. Let's see. The last thing that we have really talked about in depth was a fair amount of work that's going on right now to launch a major capital campaign. We've got folks working on development. This is a real opportunity for the village to use these couple of years of heavy construction to make major improvements around here. That you may not have noticed, but a lot of other folks, you know, have done the homework to see that, you know, if we don't fix some things and spend some money, we're going to have some problems down the road. So this is an opportunity to renew our facilities and improve a lot of safety around here, and then make room for more program offerings, both in the winter and the summer. So program is something that people really enjoy and the village excels in, and we want to see that expanded. It's going to take time and money, and we want to give people that have the village in their heart the opportunity to express their gratitude and what they've been blessed with. So we're looking for a launch of that campaign sometime in early 2013 is the hope. But in the meantime, you know, the annual giving that we've been so blessed with people contributing to, we appreciate, you know, you keeping that in mind too. So that's been the work we've been up to. Unless I forgot anything, folks, can I capture it all, Norm?
Well, I would think in terms of particulars, I think we could say that there's going to be a fire suppression system in, right?
That's the hope. You know, one of the improvements we're working on is a perimeter system that, in the event of a forest fire, would help combat, you know, the village being impacted by that. So, open it up for questions, concerns, any insights people have, whatever. Yes.
You mentioned being on the registry of historic places.
Is that a process that's involved? Are there advantages to being on that registry? Or you're following the code the regulations already?
I may turn to Chuck on this because he's been pretty involved. We've already done everything I think that would need to get us on the registry, but because we need to have in place standards that, you know, the agencies that work on that stuff accept. So that's some of the work that's going on. Do you want to elaborate on that, Chuck?
Yeah, good. We're on, the village itself is on Forest Service property, and so part of our special use permit, we comply with Forest Service's requirements, and as the village is 75 years old, and now Holden Village part of it is over 50 years old, both elements are eligible to be registered to the historic registry. So that can happen in this procedure, but as it is, we have to, under our special use permit, comply with the State Historic Preservation Office, which is maybe not quite, I'm not even sure if it's the same amount of stringent, as stringent, or, but we do comply with all of those historical requirements. The Forest Service actually has to comply, and we comply.
Hoping to do that, we can do things quicker.
Yeah. But we don't get a tax credit or something like that.
So does that mean we're going to potentially in the future try to go to the National Registry? Is there an advantage for us for that? Or are we just basically complying with
what we're... Because we're eligible, the Forest Service is obliged to comply. Isn't that strange? Even though we haven't been officially designated. But because we're eligible, they are eligible. Their property is eligible. Right. Then they have to comply. And so that's why.
Yeah. So it's like we are registered.
Yeah,
so.
Just like
we can't do the work, but we'll get a plaque, maybe.
We might get a plaque, yeah.
And we never pay for it.
Yeah.
Didn't we learn that somebody associated with the village at one time is the plaque maker for that? Yeah, I heard that somewhere.
We want a plaque.
I'm presuming that individuals or small collections of people that aren't formally coming from a congregation can apply to come into the village based upon do you need extra hands and labor?
Sort of like a work camp. We're going to be, the directors and the staff are going to be working on, what the criteria will be and how we administer something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you can imagine we can't have a situation where a lot of young kids are running around, and it's going to be a work site.
In the area of mine remediation, can you give us just a rough idea of what the scope of the work will be compared to 60 or 70 people now versus the next 2 years?
Sure. And by the way, I'll put a plug in that Chuck and Steph do a great mine remediation talk. So if I screw up on anything, is it tomorrow night? So, yeah, you want to attend that. But, if we're 50, 60 right now, the estimates are between 160 and 250 workers. And a lot...
Plus longer hours.
And at the end of the dining hall is one of the pieces of equipment that will be brought in to dig along the tailings.
There's a picture of it.
Picture.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, right. Yeah. Picture. Yeah. Thanks, Darius. Small detail.
That's why the lights are so long.
But there, the bridge is almost done. So, and the Holden Village now has a bypass.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Wait till the stoplight goes in. But, a lot of equipment in, and then, that construction of a fairly significant concrete wall that would prevent, in the event of an earthquake, a tailing sloughing into the creek is going to be a big project.
And there's a rock quarry that's going to go in, and rerouting of the creek.
assume.
The rock quarry we will see, I guess, from the road as you come up on the other side of 10 Mile. Which we'll see it from the road, right?
They're working to keep getting from the road.
Yeah, okay.
But those things are supposed to happen this year. So we'll see.
But they'll be dynamiting at places, and so that it becomes quite a safety issue, and that's what we're worried about, and that's what Rio Tinto is worried about. You can even see when the big trucks come, there are people walking on all the sides. Okay, they have to go at a pace according to pedestrian walking pace, so they have some pedestrians walking the thing, and then like sometimes kids will come running out of here, and they'll cross right in front, and you know, so that's why they do that. And that's why children are discouraged from being there. They can't allow their kids in there.
What will happen to the Holden School?
Oh, it's still active. You know, it serves villagers and staff, so that'll be fully operational.
Most of the work will happen in the summertime. So the winter life will probably be somewhat the same as it is now. So we can still come for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Are there hopes to increase winter programming?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Can I answer to? Not in the 2 years of
no, not
no, right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to stay normal. But as we come out of this whole project, I think the potential to increase winter program is going to be there. As of right now, we are kind of bumping against our potential already because we are full many times during the winter season. And it's hard to convince people to come during the week because most people can't. And so it's sort of, the dips are hard to fill. But it'll stay the same during the heavy construction as it is right now.
When we get articles in Skiing Magazine about the wonderful skiing at Holden Village, it makes for increase of winter.
Skiing, December 2011. Look it up. Great photography and great article about it.
Where did they ski? Big Creek? Did you?
Well, yeah,
we saw guys go up into Holden. They went
Copper Basin.
Yeah, up at the Holden Lake too, and it went in the backcountry. And they were these backcountry skiers that were coming down and doing all this stuff.
They were actually testing whether that we could convert the tailings into a ski resort.
Our golf course.
No.
Joke.
Be careful what you say.
It'll be announced in the Senate.
Joke.
It's real interesting how the interaction between the miners and the village, we have people who are villagers are working for the mine, and we have some of the mining people wanting to come, and I just heard that they had a special class on tie-dye. The miners all wanted to do tie-dye. And so they opened the class gate at night, and the miners were there doing tie-dye. Okay, and then they're starting to talk about when the census goes down a little to bring their families up here, because this is quite an unusual mine site, and they can bring their families up here, and they're really looking forward to doing that.
We have one son of a worker volunteering right now.
Yes,
it has happened. Yeah.
I have one comment about the miners, because we are in a lodge right across from Nate where they are, and they were out there just a little while ago talking on their balconies, and loud enough that you could not avoid hearing. And they were saying, boy, I've gained weight since we've been up here. And I said, yeah, I haven't lost any either. They're really feeding us good. I need to know that.
The kitchen staff and cooks are just amazing. Taking them out and then cooking two different meals every day.
I just share that with them. They really appreciate it.
I heard from one of our kitchen coordinators. She goes in at 3:30 in the morning because she likes that hour of quiet and preparatory time before the team comes in at 4:30 or 5. And so I am in shock to hear these things.
offerings of time and skills. Keep them in your prayers and tell them that they're great.
Yeah, compliment them.
I had the opportunity to talk to some of the workers on their way up. Liz is one of them. He's right here. because I happen to know one of their leaders. I've learned that they have to go through a very intense training and physicals and exams, and it's just amazing what they have to go through and smile and be happy as they arrive. So.
Pretend anyway.
Don't let the smile fool you.
Other questions?
One of the original propositions in the minor mediation was being considered was that while it was going on, that mine corporations that were working here would be contributing money or labor towards the infrastructure rebuilding, and that's still the case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you say anything about Holden on the Road?
No. Would somebody like to talk to Holden on the Road? Yeah, we forgot to mention that.
Steph, would you like to?
Sure. We're excited to be creative during those 2 years. So people were hearing we're not closing, and there will be opportunities for people to come and volunteer to help Holden with the on-site projects. But there still is room for opportunity to go off-site, which we're calling Holden on the Road, and that is being formulated into tangibleness right as we speak. Where maybe it's a weekend, maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week at different sites across the nation where people would be able to come and have a Holden experience and be updated on what's happening up here as well and reach a lot of people that aren't able to come as a guest capacity in those 2 years. And what we found out, it also will reach a lot of people that maybe are at a point in life where it is more difficult to get all the way up here. We'll just grab them and loop them into this next couple of years too, so everybody will be a part of this process and have opportunity to join in different ways. It's exciting. We have already a lot of sites, different sites, educational institutions, seminaries, and then outdoor ministry sites that are very interested in hosting and working with us to have a week at that location, or you know, it's new, it's different, it's exciting. So that will be hopefully coming out in our fall Village Voice, some more clarity about that, so that people can look to the next 2 summers and start making some plans or you know some options for their families and their summer fun.
The one thing I've discovered in my years coming here is that Holden is both a place and a people. And it's the people wherever they are that we want to connect with, especially, I mean, really intentionally in that 2 years of heavy work up here. So, you know, you are Holden.
Very much so.
Yes.
Have you done any exploring as to getting people probably more gracefully from Wenatchee up? Some of the things that have happened, and I know we've looked at it, and it looks a little complicated right now, but has that been discussed at all?
I have heard it discussed in other circles, but not, we didn't discuss it at this meeting, no.
But I can speak. I'm from Wenatchee, and I know that there's been a couple of job fairs on folks from Wenatchee and Chelan to have the opportunity to come up and work through the construction companies. And I've translated for a few of them, and some of those are folks that have been at Holden during either Abriendo Caminos or some other events. So I believe that I've seen a lot of opportunities for many people around those areas. Also, some groups that will be planning to come as groups through churches or programs during those next 2 years.
But you're asking about how to get your transportation.
I'm talking about transportation.
Yeah.
Between Wenatchee and the boat?
Yeah.
That's still about the $2.50 bus.
Pardon? It's not on weekends.
Sunday.
Right, so you're talking about week, on weekdays, there's the Link $2.50 bus that just goes from Columbia Station, basically, or other spots, right to the boat dock. But on the weekends, it doesn't run, and then it's more complicated.
There's
buses break down like we saw when we drove up.
Oh.
I think that one thing that we talked about kind of in brainstorming a few years ago was when you think about hospitality, probably almost everybody in this room has to work really hard to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether it's flying or trains or buses or cabs or how to, when the boat goes.
And hiking over.
Or hiking trip. And I think we had an idea once of, you know, working with a travel agency or someone who would know all the ins and outs of Holden Travel. But that was just a brainstorm thing. And it might not be a bad idea to rethink that coming out of, you know, mine remediation or something to help help it be easier for people to get here. It's a you know, piece of work to get here.
I also know that there's several churches in Wenatchee that do transport groups that are coming from out of town. I know there's 3 Lutheran churches that I have worked with that if you contact them, they have vans or even buses available to transport to either Phil's Point or to Chelan Lady of the Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, has there been any thought to putting a landing strip on top of that?
You know, Mary, I got to tell you, that's a funny story to bring up because the folks that are working on the historical you know, standards and all that, very bright folks. They did a bunch of research, went to the various archives as well as what was filed in Chelan and all that. And in the early 60s, there was a plan that was submitted that had 2 landing strips on the tailings. And get this, one of the chalets had a worship center and amphitheater built into the side of the hill.
Now, if we're historical, we're going to have to do that.
Didn't happen, obviously. But
it was called hysterical.
It's kind of interesting.
Actually, we were talking.
I've been after the amphitheater for a while. But
Mark, you have a question right here in the front. Didn't you have your hand up in the blue?
Jennifer.
Blue.
Oh, it was just an idea. I know that, you know, for people who do rafting, often there's rafting companies, know people in the area that will do a shuttle service.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something if Holden, you know, has either Wenatchee or, you know, for people who want to do a park around Fields Point, maybe some pool of contacts that are,
mm-hmm.
or a central point person that knows of people
yeah.
who are willing to do shuttling. And obviously it would probably
well, one of our board members is very well connected in Wenatchee. So. Maybe
like
she can help
one.
Somebody
yeah.
find a business opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It seems like an entrepreneur would take
yeah.
that.
Right.
And she's very convincing.
You know, one of the things that was kind of reassuring to us was when Rio Tinto presented to us, and they are sensitive to the community of Chelan and the Lower Lake area. And are trying to work with people down there. And that was very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of a big thing, bringing all these people in.
Yeah.
Just a footnote on Wenatchee. I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's going to be an insert in the Wenatchee mm-hmm. world
newspaper.
All about the 50 years of Holden Village. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the bookstore will get a few extra
yeah,
copies
totally.
Of it.
And along with that, it will also let everyone know part of sort of wrapping up the 50th anniversary, we'll be having, I think this is, I'm not sure what it's called, a community day, where the people from Chelan and Wenatchee will be invited to come up for the day. We're going to charter the Lady Express for the day, and they can come, and they can have a meal with us, and they can have tours, and have some sessions, and learn about the place, and we're hoping that's very successful. And that was sort of symbolically, at the end of our 50th, where we're talking all about our 50 years, then we turn around and go, yay, look it out into the world and let other folks come out and see what's going on, too. And as we were just researching and looking around, Mary discovered that 50 years ago, in September that the Chamber of Commerce from Chelan, 120 folks, also came up and looked around the village. So it's kind of funny how things keep circling around and we keep thinking, oh, it's a new idea, but it's not.
Mark, maybe we could call on Mary just to talk a little bit about the new communication pieces and what the communications office is has up their sleeves, website, publications, whatever.
Am I doing that right?
Well, I don't mind at all, but I hope that everybody is aware already. I think that our communication program speaks for itself. We have a team, and we're working on several fronts. Print, Holden Village Voice, which is now more colorful, more magazine-like. And our website, in case you haven't checked on it recently, do look. It gets updated several times a week. And then kicking and screaming, I have been brought into the era of Facebook. And there's a really active community on Facebook. Serena will post something, the picture of the Holden sculpture that Janice did. Have you noticed the old lawn furniture and tools and so on that spell out the name Holden by the ice cream parlor? She posted that on the on Facebook, and when you post things on Facebook, then you close it down and then you pull it up again to see that everything went okay. And she already had several comments on it before she could even pull it back up on her. There was great excitement about that. So we are trying to maintain community using this technology that ironically isn't available in the village. When you get out of the village, you can stay in touch.
Can you talk about the Beholden and how people could subscribe if they haven't already?
Yes, if you are not getting the twice monthly email, Beholden, and we keep it short so it doesn't take a lot of time to read, you need only go to the website and sign up for it. It's free.
Right?
Yeah, when it comes to volunteers, I just want to ask again, will there be a need? Would you prefer longer-term volunteers instead of 2 to 3 weeks, like 4 to 6 or 8 weeks?
I don't know if that's been determined yet, and I'll let Chuck and Steph address that, but we're talking about during those weeks or 2 years that there may only be, I mean, people come in on at least a 1 week stretch because we'll only have bus runs, you know, once a week to minimize the traffic on the road. But
that'll be a change.
Yeah.
So the daily arrival departure pattern will be difficult to maintain when they have control of the road and there's lots of traffic. So we're looking at, yeah, at least a week, and then there'll be some positions that will be through construction season, and then there'll be other positions that will be 2 or 3 weeks. And our vision is a blend of skilled and then labor, so kind of like Habitat for Humanity model, maybe, where you have a project, some supervisor who knows about the project and has the skills for that project, but then people are rotating out underneath that, is kind of the vision that we're formulating in our mind. So there, I think there's going to be lots of opportunities for a variety of guests.
Does that mean we'll have a whole week board meeting next summer?
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Right.
just heard that.
Some work days in there.
Yeah. Well, finally, the board will work.
The board will work, yeah.
I was waiting for that.
What does the construction season seem to be? I mean, is it going to be March through October? Or
no, it's more April through early November.
Okay. Yeah. Depending on the sun.
And if it's a year like this, probably May. Yeah.
This year was rough to get started early.
Sure.
But it gets, it's, when there's, you know, a foot of snow, it gets very unsafe. So.
But their hope is they're looking at timelines and planning, you know, projects conservatively May through November.
Right.
Given the time frame you just said, will the May Youth Weekends be happening or?
Not. The discussions are happening, most likely not as we know it. That will be, it will look differently. But we are meeting with Mark from Trinity and discussing options. So.
And all of this, we're kind of playing by ear, right now.
I
guess. You got, you know.
Yeah. But that's one of the things.
Yeah. I think, you know, if the clearances are given that, you know, some of the work can really be accomplished this summer, then we'll have a lot more confidence that 2013 and 2014 is it, and can plan accordingly. And that should become known fairly soon.
Like tomorrow at the EPA.
Well, I don't want to necessarily create that expectation.
Someone may know, but you know, probably won't.
I'll kind of end with this comment that the Holden community throughout this process has been incredibly supportive. I mean, if you go to the what's called the Record of Decision, they record all the comments that they were given. Okay?
It's in the library.
It's available online. And, you know, it's amazing the support the village showed in that process. So I guess what I'm saying is that if we ran into some issues that impacted this summer, I think we'd reinvigorate that voice. Because, you know, we're a community, we have a school, we're impacted by this. You know, the agencies need to take that into consideration. We're trying our best to do this within 2 years and sticking to our guns. We'll see.
Tune in next year.
Next week.
Thank you.
Good night.